listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll hear new music and an interview with the Milwaukee band Field Report, who have a new album coming out tomorrow. First, some say crime in Milwaukee is a cycle. A violent crime happens, there's outrage, organizers create a solution, and money and resources pour into it. Then it's abandoned. And some of those solutions have been successful in other cities even after Milwaukee has given up on them. Ashley Lutheran dug into the problem for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where she covers crime. Ashley, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, in your reporting, you see this pattern. Milwaukee comes up with a crime or violence prevention idea. They try it. Other places steal the idea. And then it fades out in Milwaukee. And this has happened, you write, multiple times, right?
It has. It's certainly a pattern that I've noticed in daily beat reporting here in Milwaukee over the past 5 years.
And let's start with one of the examples you share in your piece. The city's Homicide Review Commission started back in 2005, and people saw good results from it. Can you talk about the rise and fall of the Homicide Review Commission?
Sure, absolutely. So the Homicide Review Commission was set up to analyze deadly violence in the city. The idea being, if you can understand what's causing deadly violence and non-fatal shootings, then you can have a better chance of addressing what those underlying issues are, seeing if there are gaps in any of the systems, like in the criminal justice system or other service providers. And this review really centers around strong collaboration. And I think what ended up happening as time went on, the commission developed recommendations for different system partners. But at the same time, the Milwaukee Police Department, arguably the most important partner in this collaboration, they were developing their own real-time data systems, crime analysis centers. And there seemed to be a little bit less, you know, some police officials, including former police chief Ed Flynn, felt that the commission wasn't really adding value. Other partners, like District Attorney John Chisholm, disagreed with that. As the police department started to pull back in about 2015, the commission found itself on life support. You know, they didn't have as much regular access to the police data. And because of that, they couldn't really do their work. The whole goal is to have this as a real-time analysis and response system for these issues in the city. Now, what's happened since then, the interim police chief here, Alfonso Morales, he has reinstated that kind of information sharing with the commission. And it does seem like it'll be coming back stronger, maybe taking some new forms. But as reporters, you could see this decline a little bit in terms of the delay when it came to getting the annual reports for the commission. The past few years, they've been coming out later and later. And really, kind of the discussion around it faded away. So that was one example we wanted to look at. Now, as I said, it appears that it's being revived under the new administration here in Milwaukee, but we'll see what the future holds for them.
And then another initiative that kind of rose and fell was the community prosecution units. And again, this is one that's been replicated in other places. How did this work?
The community prosecution units are exceptionally popular in neighborhoods where they have been working for years. It pairs up a community prosecutor, a police officer, and a community organizer to work with residents to respond to community issues, quality of life issues, you know, shutting down drug houses, taking care of landlords who might be absentee and allowing nuisances to occur in their properties. And so this has been in Milwaukee since 2000. And at one point, at its height, there was one in every single police district. There are seven in the city of Milwaukee. And the problem is, in this case, is funding. Most of these prosecutor positions, and really they are built around the prosecutors, they are funded by federal grants. And as we know, with the change in presidential administrations, there are different priorities. Now, some will also argue, you know, a budget is where you show your priorities. So, you know, the district attorney's office, maybe the police department, they should be allocating money for this. You know, the district attorney's office will say, well, unfortunately, our funding for actual prosecutor positions is dictated by the state. You know, they've appealed to the state to try to get more prosecutors generally, more prosecutors for this specifically. But they haven't been successful. So they are hoping that they will be able to get more federal grants to try to bring this back. The other option is the private sector and the nonprofit sector. So here in Milwaukee, one collection of big-name groups that include Harley and MillerCoors and Marquette University, they have put some money together, and they do have the Near West Side partners, and they have funded a community prosecution unit through their private dollars. So that may be a model going forward, but funding really is an issue with those.
Talking to Ashley Lutheran from the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel about crime and violence prevention efforts in Milwaukee and why they seem to rise and fall, even when other cities are stealing these ideas and finding success with many of them. Ashley, those are just a couple of the examples you reported on. I want to get into a couple of common themes. One of them you just mentioned with the community prosecution unit, inconsistent or unstable funding. Has this been a recurring theme in different crime prevention efforts?
Yes, it absolutely has been. And that's something when you talk to people at the city, county, other governmental levels, they all point to funding as a you know, systemic problem. And if you talk to outside experts, someone like Patrick Sharkey, who's has a new book out, Uneasy Peace, which sort of documents the unsung role of nonprofits and community groups in helping to lower violence, you know, he says we haven't really made what he calls a sustained, durable commitment to these kinds of things, you know, guaranteeing funding for them. We see, and there are a variety of reasons for that, but one of the most common is when we talk about addressing crime, we almost always turn immediately to what can the criminal justice system do. And we sort of historically have undervalued the role that community groups and people working on the blocks are doing every day with very few resources to keep their neighborhoods safer.
Another theme you write about is the idea that for any of these things to work, they tend to have to be collaborations between police organizations, city, county government, community groups that you were just talking about, city council, others. And in many of these cases, people didn't play well together. Is that right?
Yes. It's no secret that we have our share of strong personalities. You know, there's been clashes between, you know, our former police chief Ed Flynn and, you know, former Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. We've had clashes between local governments here and the state. And then there's also just sort of, you know, different people who are running different agencies and organizations can have different priorities at different times. So it can be a matter as well of, okay, well, I think now our focus should be on this issue and not this one. There's also sort of this theme of once you have some early success, there tends to be an impulse to look elsewhere, right? So we've solved this problem, we move away from it and look at a different one. And then the successes that you saw earlier kind of fade away and the problem reemerges. So you have a clash of personalities sometimes, different priorities, and it can be hard to get everyone on the same page. And then sometimes it certainly does not help when there are very public spats that are occurring between different leaders of organizations.
And the irony here is that as these programs fall by the wayside in Milwaukee, people in law enforcement and other groups around the country are saying, hey, we borrowed this idea from you in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It's going like gangbusters here.
Yes. You've seen that with other places that have used community prosecution units to greatest success. What's interesting, you know, here in Milwaukee, I'll be writing about this in the future in more depth, but the Homicide Review Commission actually went out to the city of Oakland, California, and train their police department on how to do reviews of non-fatal shootings in real time. And then Oakland took that strategy, tweaked it, added a stronger community component, and now you're hearing Interim Police Chief Alfonso Morales talking about how he wants that to be a core component of his strategy for the department here in Milwaukee. So, again, kind of taking an idea that originated here in Milwaukee, another city used, and, you know, strengthen it for what they wanted to achieve, and now Milwaukee's saying, all right, let's bring it back, or let's use this strategy.
There are changes in leadership in key law enforcement positions in Milwaukee, a sheriff and police chief in the city of mm-hmm. Milwaukee. Is there a sense that, hey, maybe this is a time where people can do things differently, come up with more sustainable long-term efforts?
I think that certainly is the feeling on the ground here in Milwaukee, that there's a lot of opportunity. It's sort of a natural time to take a beat and look and examine what has worked and what, you know, the city as a whole and the county as a whole wants to do moving forward. And this is all happening in a larger backdrop, you know, as the state is preparing to remake how it handles juvenile justice.
Ashley, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Ashley Lutheran. She's a public safety reporter at the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. We were talking about long-term efforts to prevent crime and violence in Milwaukee.